dear pastor, his dear friend, and his dear wife. Appreciate the opportunity to be back. First came about 28 years ago, and it's been an honor always to get to come back. I love Trinity Baptist Church. It's just a blessing. Appreciate your prayers over the years. We pray for you. Appreciate this opportunity today to celebrate God's faithfulness to this good church, this dear pastor, this dear wife. And appreciate you folks coming to honor the Lord today and worship Him. Amen. This has always been a place of worship. I love coming to this church. So, take your Bibles, if you would. Pray for me. This is not me. I hate a wimpy preacher. Here I be's one today. Somebody's got a Red Bull, I'll take it. Second Kings chapter number 4, please, if you would. Second Kings chapter number 4. Second Kings chapter number 4, and we'll begin in verse number 1, says, Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elijah. This dear lady came in before the prophet. She needed some counsel. Her world is turned upside down. She needed a word from the Lord, but what she got wasn't what she expected. Boy, she's all kinds of difficulties here, and she's really at the end of her rope. And she said, Thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. But we're in a pickle. We're in a place we never thought would ever be. We can't meet our means. My husband dead, and he didn't provide for us like I thought he would. We talked about it a lot, and we thought we'd get this on the ball, and we'd be able to get our plan. We'd get with our fiduciary. Whatever that is, fiduciary, you know, them guys aren't supposed to steal your money. And he'd help us have a plan to be prepared whenever maybe dad dies or mom dies, would be okay. He said, but for some reason, we never got there. And it's a burden. We're in trouble. Because the thing that we love the most in all the world is our boys are the only thing we've got that's of value to the people that we owe money to. I'm coming to you to try to help me know what to do. He said he was a God-fearing man, but the creditors are come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. What would you do when something like that knocked your door? Well, it'd be time to be able to join the National Rifleman's Association, amen? I'd be packing, amen? Somebody's going to die. Come take my boys. Now, when they were teenagers, I'd have gave them to you, amen? I helped them move one time. I said, it's time for you to move. We ain't fighting no more. Amen. But that doesn't fit the service. Amen. And the preacher, of course, says something that all preachers say. You never expect a preacher to say what you think he's going to say because he's trying to tell you what God wants you to hear. And this old preacher, he said unto her, well, what do you want me to do about it? You know, sometimes a preacher won't respond like you think he's supposed to be because he's not your mother. It's more like your dad. Old-time dad, amen? Well, you got yourself in this mess. What are you going to do to get out of it? And this preacher says, What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in thine house? And she said, Thine handmaiden hath not anything. We're so broke, we can't pay attention. You know, that's a big problem in our culture today. A lot of folks are living without their means, or they're not preparing for down the. They're not penny wise. There's so much in the Bible about trying to prepare for a rainy day, and it's raining. And there's a famine in the land. Folks are in trouble. A lot of young people. I'm telling you, they've got this culture. We're so spoiled. America's biggest. You know, we are our own problem. Amen. We we love everything, and we have everything, and two of it, amen. Sometimes three of it. And we're spoiled. We live the good life. We live in the greatest country in the world. That's why the rest of the world hates America, because they've got everything. And they ain't got nothing. The rest of the world. They look at us on TV and see you out, you know, barbecuing and maybe the pool in the backyard. Preacher was preaching about that earlier. I mean, got three cars and they all look really, you know, live in a house that's a mansion compared to the rest of the world. And they say, look at them stinking Americans. They're always happy. Well, they're smiling. I mean, they do. I mean, as a rule, we're blessed, aren't we, church? I mean, you folks live in the second greatest state in the union. Amen? You're blessed. I love Tennessee. Amen. It's a blessing. I'm glad I don't live here, but I love Tennessee. Boy, I tell you, we've got so much, but we have a problem. Is sometimes it's all owned by somebody else. Boy, and sometimes we're just not having enough coming in to pay for what needs to go out. And life can be in such a, it can flip in just a moment. This dear woman says, I ain't got nothing in thine house save a pot of oil. The preacher said, go borrow thy vessels abroad of all thy neighbors. Give clean, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and thou shalt pour out all these vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. Woman probably said, what in the world is that kind of counsel? How can that help me? I need some money. I need these debtors off my back. I need a hitman, amen. I need something to hit them. I used to have a hitman in Arizona, but he died, amen. I'm looking for one. Spiritual hitman. This dear woman, she could have said, like many folks, that isn't what I wanted to hear, and that's not why I came to church, and you ain't a bit of good. Notice the preacher doesn't say anything else. He tells her what to do, and he says, all right, be a doer of the word. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ, his greatest sermon on the Mount, he talked about two categories of people and put everybody into the narrow road or the broad road, and those that have the house on the rock and those that are on sinking sand, and he couldn't have made it more simple, amen. You know what I love about the Lord? He doesn't try to impress you intellectually to blow you away and say, wow. I don't know what he was talking about, but it was wow. The Lord's always practical and simple, and it always brings glory to God. Good preaching's always simple. I love it, especially when you're simple like me. Amen. Oh, but this woman didn't argue. She went in verse number 4 and verse 5. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons and brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said unto her son, bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, there is not a vessel more. And they all stayed. Father, would you please bless your dear people today? We thank you for the privilege to celebrate this milestone in the Trinity Baptist Church. How you've supplied the needs 45 years miraculously, and we thank you for the men that you've put in this pulpit that have ministered, and we thank you for the pastor today. We love Brother Terry, and we thank you for his love for you and his love for the Bible, and we pray now you'd continue to bless this ministry. We pray you bless them, Lord, as they continue on. Bless their work. Father, we pray you bless this service today. We pray you help help me, Lord, to say that which would be pleasing to thee. Guard my tongue. Bless the word of God. Speak to hearts. Use this portion of Scripture to help your people. And we'll give you all the glory, for you deserve it. And we'll give it all to you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. What do you think about where we're at in 2025? Folks, think happy days are here again because Trump's in the White House, and I'm glad he's there, but I'm not going to celebrate too much. I'm enjoying the good reprieve. Amen. But I tell you, lots of difficulties. The last days we live in, it's easy to become weary and well-doing, and we live under relentless, constant pressure and endless stress, and everybody's anxious. Amen. I've used this before, and folks come to our church and they want to join. I say, well, what are you on and what do you need to be on? Amen. Everybody's medicated today, and you never know if you're talking to the same person twice. Amen. And I'm talking about the preacher. Amen. It's just overwhelming, and sometimes you get yourself in a mess. You ever got yourself in a mess? I mean, this woman's dead is her and her husband's. Amen. Don't you be getting mad at everybody else because you're in a mess. Oh, you can get mad all you want, but I'm telling you, at the end of the day, you're the one that spent the money. You're the one that got the toys. You're the one that's overwhelmed, and you need help. Amen. You come to church, good place to come and get some help. Amen. Well, you find yourself throwing up your hands. You're stuck in the mindset. You don't know what to do. And I tell you, this dear woman, she's a widow. And not only that, she's got debt. She's got problems. She doesn't know what to do. And boy, I tell you, everywhere you go. I remember being in Missouri a few years ago and preaching in a conference. And a dear lady walked in during the service. She had about five kids. And she was with her dad. He's a preacher. And I asked the pastor, said, how's that family? What's the deal? Oh, she said, she's a sweet gal. She married this Brazilian guy, went to Brazil to be a missionary, and he dumped her and left her over there destitute. She's home. I wanted that hitman to hit him. Amen. Poor gal felt. And there she was in church, coming, driving miles to hear a preacher preach, to try to get a little help, to help her down the road, to know what to do. Amen. Don't always know what to do. This widow's a dear lady, and she's the daughter of a God-fearing prophet's son. She's left in destitution. Oh, sometimes we that are in a good spell and things are going well, just wonder, how come they didn't do this? What is the deal? How can you be so? I tell you what, them folks deserve. Ooh, you better be careful. I've jumped on the bandwagon a few times and sounded like I knew what they needed to do and what they didn't do, and I've sounded like a fool. Everybody in my church is hurting. Everybody. They're broke somewhere or another. It's a mess. But that's where we're at, and it's such a day as this. And this dear lady, I mean, she's just, her circumstances, they need help. She needs a word from the Lord. And I'm convinced when you look at this portion of Scripture, God knows all her problems. God's not sitting up there saying, I ain't looking, I'm not concerned about you right now. God knows, He's aware of this dear lady's problems. And when you think about problems today, as a general rule, there's more often piety found among the poor than among the rich. You get a little blessed, and you have a little extra, and your nest egg's good, and your portfolio's good, retirement's good. Thank God, amen. I'm all for that. But you know, the Lord said in 2 Corinthians, for you know that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor. And boy, He was received by the poor. Oh, difficult circumstances. This woman is broke. And you say, preacher, I can relate to that today. Well, this interesting story here might be a blessing to you to help you in regards to, I'm not going to be giving out cash at the end of the sermon, but I'm going to tell you some things that might help you know what to do with whatever you've got. Amen. Oh, you know, money's our number one idol in America. That and college education. That's why they killed Charlie Kirk. Amen. What a sad day that was in our nation's history. Bothered me. Still bothers me. Goodness. But this dear woman, she couldn't get down to the lawyer and file chapter 11. A lot of folks do that, and I'm not knocking you for doing that. It just happens. You don't know. You're in a total dilemma, and you have to do something, and some people choose to do that. All this woman had was her two boys. And I'm sure, you know, mama loves them boys. Daddy could wring your neck, but mama loves them boys. Amen. And boy, mama's wondering, what am I going to do? And she trusted God in the past with the prophet's son, but he's gone now. Boy, that's a tough dilemma. Oh, we see that more and more, more and more. So sad when you see these circumstances. I mean, there's no nest egg. And dad didn't prepare. And what's she going to do in such a time as this? Well, it's easy for her to get mad at God and say, I ain't going down to the church house. What are they going to do? They're going to look at me and say, I'm a derelict. I'm not respectable. I didn't take care of my own. Some of us can get a little hoity-toity, a little uppity. Amen? God forgive us when we do. What am I to do at this time in my life? She needs help. And boy, I tell you, you see this come to the preacher, and he asks her, well, what am I going to do for you? And
And sometimes God gives you a word that you think, I didn't think that's the word that God would give me. But it was exactly what she needed to hear when she was in a mess.
It's interesting when you look at the circumstances here. He asked her, what do you need? And she needed everything. What do you need this morning? Well, you ask most people today, how you doing? You need anything? No, I'm great. That's Laodicean. I don't need nothing. Boy, you need everything. You ain't got nothing. Amen. You may have stuff. You may be blessed. But you need prayer. Amen. You need a prayer life. You need a church. You need the Bible. You need a touch of God. You need revival. Amen. Well, people say to me, do you need anything? I said, yes. I need all kinds of things. If you'd ask God to help me, I'd appreciate it. My dear wife, she certainly needs help to put up with me. Amen. Poor Miss Terry. Amen. Bless her heart. Didn't even get her a birthday cake today. Sorry, preacher. That wasn't on the script for the anniversary, amen? He'll make it up. He'll get her a happy meal. Two of them. What do you need today, dear church? Well, you're in a pickle. If you're not in a pickle, you're going to be in a pickle. I tell you, you ain't going to get out of this thing without it being a mess. Oh, we all think we're just going to cruise to the rapture. I would like that. That would sound. I'd rather just be raptured right now. I hate the fear. Charlie Kirk may be a sign of what might be coming down the pike. A little persecution on our faith if we love the Lord and love the Bible. Oh, I'm not trying to pray for persecution. I don't desire that. But this old gal, she needed everything. And she had nothing. Save a pot of oil. Now, this pot of oil is an interesting principle when you start looking at it in comparison to the Word of God. In the midst of all this poor widow's mother's dilemma, she didn't realize that she had a treasure that had potential to just swell up into a gold mine. Amen. But for some reason, it had lost its place. It wasn't the value. When she was looking for help, she was thinking external. She was thinking, you know, materially. And I know we need some things. I'm not saying that. But this dear lady, that pot of oil was immaterial. It was irrelevant. But on the contrary, it ended up being the fundamental principle that turned the tide and brought about hope to the hopeless at the end of the rope. And of course, this applies to Christians. This oil, of course, is the most important part of the Christian life symbolically, because it symbolizes the Spirit of God in us. You already have in you, you possess in you a treasure that is able to enable you, to sustain you, to strengthen you, to direct you, to give you that ability to be able to get through something that you can't get through without that inner Holy Spirit of God. Oh, that oil, we see it in the New Testament. In John's Gospel, Jesus said, he that believeth on me, as the Scripture have said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this he spake of the Spirit, which they that believe in him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given. Oh, I tell you. Sometimes we hear people talk about their blessings, and thank God for being a Bible believer. But I'm telling you what, a preacher doesn't bring revival. It don't come from Alabama, although it's a good place for it to come from. Amen. It humbles me to come to you bunch of humble folks up here in Tennessee. Amen. You're so humble. Amen. You'd even let me preach. Amen. Again. Your preacher needs to get out more so he can meet more preachers. That's the truth. Send him. His dear wife told him the other day, don't you have a meeting to go to? Amen. Out of this pot of oil, the least important thing at that moment comes forth God's provision. She already had what she needed to meet the need and didn't know it. God's people have camp meeting, revival, missions conference, and they're expecting, you know, some supernatural ability to come in from some preacher. Now, I know God uses preaching, and I'm thankful He uses a preacher to preach,
But I'm telling you what, you already, if you're saved today, have within you a treasure. The Holy Ghost lives in you. He can meet the need today. If it's cancer, if it's physical, if it's financial, if it's divorce, if it's kids, I'm telling you what, I don't mean it's going to be easy, but He can help you through all that. And that preacher was right on track when he asked her what she needed. Oh, he gives her some advice. He says, go borrow some oil vessels. Not a few. Well, it tickles me to see, I every once in a while watch the streaming. Years ago, I never knew what streaming was. It's amazing. You kids don't even get that. But it's okay. And I see how God has blessed Trinity. Good crowd here today. We're glad you're here. But what are you here? What do you need today? If you were to talk to the preacher, say, "Preacher, nobody knows the mess I'm in." Well, God knows. You're come to a good place to maybe get a reminder of some counsel or some oil that'll help you. I'm telling you, it'll help you today. This woman didn't realize God was interested in meeting the need through what she already had. And boy, it's an inner man for sure. You start seeing this. The preacher needed to awaken the memory of a spiritual awakening. In yesteryear, when we had revival in these mountains, back in the first great awakening and then the second great awakening, well, wouldn't it be a blessing to see God have a third great awakening at Trinity Baptist Church? I don't know about Tennessee. I don't know about Alabama. I don't know about Nashville. I have my doubt there, but I'm telling you what, I see no problem with God. Heaven coming down and glory filling your soul and stirring the dear saints of the Trinity Baptist Church, the homes, the fathers, the moms, the young people. I mean, God still can. Amen. Bless this old pulpit and keep it Krispy Kreme hot. Yeah. Oh. You know what? He tells her to go and get some vessels. But the vessels have to be empty. And not only that, they have to be clean. And you know what God uses to help you get empty and get you clean? He uses the blood of Jesus Christ and the Word of God. Now are you clean through the Word. Amen. He that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. And God won't fill you until you get empty and get clean. And that's how God uses preaching, amen, to empty you of your old self, because you're not able to know what to do. You're not as smart as you think you are. Now, I'm not saying you're not smart, but you're not smart enough. Preaching empties the flesh. And these empty. He brings these vessels in. It's interesting when God starts dealing with it. I love that verse in Luke chapter 14. He says, compel the saints to come in that my house might be filled. God likes filled. He does. He likes filled. And there's no preacher that doesn't enjoy a place being filled. You want to encourage your pastor? Come. You stay home and he says, I wonder what's wrong with that dear brother. What's happening to that family? What's happening with that dear mother? They're not here. You grieve your dear pastor, grieve God. There may be problems why you're not here, but I'm here to tell you, the church house is a good place to get empty and to get clean so God can fill you to help you do what you've got to do. Right? I remember in Bible school 100 years ago, seemed like it, I didn't know who Jack Howells was, but I remember being down there and they said, do you ever hear that message Brother Howells preaches on fresh oil? Oh, if you haven't heard it, you need to go online. Nowadays, you had to buy tapes. Tapes, a little thing about this size. Some of you. I'll go there another day. I imagine this dear mother got them boys together. Doesn't say how old the boys were, but I'm sure them boys, mom came out of the preacher's office and said, all right, kids, we got a job to do. Let's go home. We're going to get some vessels. And the boys said, okay, mama. And they go down there, and mom says, all right, start gathering every vessel you can. Let's get them clean. Let's get them ready. God's going to show us how He's going to provide for us in this mess before the creditors show up. And boy said, okay, mama. So she shuts the door. She doesn't turn it on Facebook. She doesn't YouTube it. Now, some of you folks can't go to Walmart without Facebook and something. What's the matter with you? Where is your head at? Hello, that went over real well. Amen. Hit a stump there for sure. Oh, I'm telling you. And that dear mama got them boys together, and they started gathering them vessels. And you imagine them old boys going around the house and getting them vessels, just like a bunch of kids. They think this is a homeschool work project. Amen. You homeschoolers, and you're bringing them projects in, and they're in that place, and there's no showboat. There's no showboating. Amen. No grandstanding. No Benny Hinn. None of that foolishness. Amen. Some of you want the preacher to get up here and just... And you all go, this could be my last night in town. I don't know. Lady doesn't do that. She gets them boys together, and she gets that cruise of oil. She says, now, God said he's going to help us meet the need. And so what God does, they're all ready. You all empty? Love that response. And he says, all right, so she starts. I do have a little. Them boys are watching. I got a lid on. It's all right. And mama's there. Don't know what size the vessel is. Could be a little one. Don't want to look at no big ones. That might not be good. I'll get in trouble there. Amen. And it fills up and they go, mama, how'd all that fill that with just this little thing? She said, it's not done yet. There's more. Let me take the lid off for the pastor. Yeah. And this dear gal, she's filling them up and filling them up, and she's just filling them up. Boy, you ever come to church and just get filled up? Yes, boy, you ever come to a meeting and you just feel like, I'm just full right now. Now, you'll need something to eat next week. Amen. Don't be saying you can go on that like some of the other preachers went for a month, or you don't show up in 3 months. Amen. We'll see you at Christmas. Amen. Yeah. Won't see it Halloween, won't go there, amen. Some of you need filled up, amen. And boy, you keep filling. Goodness, you need a lot. You don't need, oh yeah, you need a lot too, amen. Where's that Josh guy? I ain't getting there. Well, and you start getting filled. And this dear gal, if I had time, and you don't have time because dinner's coming, amen. I ain't stupid. And you keep filling full. And this dear lady's filling these folks up. And all of a sudden, the vessels are none more vessels wanting to be filled. And the oil stays. That had to be a sad day in the history of this woman's life. She says, is there any more? I mean, your pastor, when he preaches, you know what he wants? He wants everybody to be saved. He wants everybody to be empty. He wants everybody to be clean. He wants everybody to be filled. Especially his missionaries. Amen. Good night. He needs to be filled. And boy, he's filled. He got a grandbaby. Yeah! Haven't seen him popping them buttons this week. I love it. I love it. And boy, you start thinking God meets the provision for this dear woman to pay the debt. And she didn't realize how that little vessel could turn into an oil well. Boy, I tell you how God wants to meet the needs today with something that's already in you. You just got to be a vessel that'll get empty and clean. Oh, dear church. I remember when I first came to the United States back in the day and wasn't raised on American TV, but I saw this old TV show back in the day. Old Jed Clampett. He's out there. They say he was in Arkansas, but I believe he was in Alabama. It's my story. I can tell anyway I want to. And he's out there trying to get him some possum for Granny. And he shoots at the old possum and misses. And the next thing you know, up pops up that oil. And the next thing you know, old Jed's a millionaire. Ten folks said, Jed, move away from there. He said, Alabama is the place you ought to be. So he packed up his stuff and he moved to Tuscaloosa. Roll Tide. I had to do that once. Amen. It gets worse. Amen. Hope lunch is good. If that's the best I can do, brother. Woohoo! CDs are in the foyer. Amen. Ah. The oil stayed as a direct result of the vessels running out. There was no shortage of oil as long as there was vessels. The application is most Christians have all the Holy Ghost they want to make room for. The problem's never been the oil. It's always been the vessels. I know up here, like you do down there in Alabama, you have some folks, they just think, you know, lost the Holy Ghost, need the Holy Ghost. And I don't think I'd be out of place saying, when you get saved, you get all the Holy Ghost you're ever going to get. But the Christian life is a marathon. And the question is, does the Holy Ghost have all of you? And that's where we needed to be, under the spigot of the Word of God. Where God says, you need some more, brother. I'm going to get that. Just kidding. We need to be filled. And I'm telling you what, dear church, it could be all kinds of dilemmas that you're in, just like this dear lady. But God met the need through the oil. I tell you, sometimes we're looking for some sensational word from the pastor, and the pastor would love to be able to say it. I think it was like Brother Jack mentioned here at the revival this week one time when the lights went out and he preached in the dark, and he said he wished he could have them words back because he loved what he said, but he didn't know what he said. And nobody recorded it because the power was out. Best preaching he ever did. Amen. I've been there and done that a few times. It wasn't on my notes. I couldn't see my notes. By the way, I felt like at that camp meeting, I was waiting for a marriage to take place. You couldn't see nothing. It looked just beautiful. Amen. It was so pretty. I've been to weddings like that. That didn't go over real well, but it's all right. Sadly, the mentality of many of God's people is they just don't realize they have within them the help that's available to help them through the need. Kind of like the old boy that was in Tennessee. He loved to fish. And he went out one time with his old buddy pal to catch some trout. And caught this old trout, and he pulled out this measuring stick. And if the trout was longer than the measuring stick, he'd throw it back. And his buddy said, "No, that's a strange thing." He says, "You keep the small ones and return the large ones." He said, "That don't make sense." And his buddy said, "Well, there's a reason for that." He says, "What the deal is," he says, "I only have an 8-inch skillet. And rather than get a bigger skillet, I settle for less. Throw the big ones back." I think sometimes we settle for less when it comes to God. Cut them short. I tell you, this poor widow was at the end of her rope. And she needed to ask God for help. And God gave her help through a preacher. And he led her. You know the verse of Scripture in Ephesians chapter 5. He says, "Where be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." Dear mama, you young mamas that are here and raising young'uns and daddy's doing his best, you need to be filled with the Spirit to help you. Oh, I tell you, dear dads that are doing the best you can, struggling, you dear grandmas that are struggling, oh, how we need to be filled. Would God bless the Good Trinity Baptist Church where we need filled today. May God help you today. Father, would you please bless your dear people? We thank you for the privilege to be able to be here and rejoice in what you've done at this good church. We thank you, Lord, that you're still able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Pray now, Father, you'd continue to bless this sacred desk, that it'd be a place that has that touch. Holy Spirit has freedom to just speak to hearts and help people in their problems. God, if there be one lost here today, maybe there's someone here that's lost, needs to come to Christ. He's the answer, church. You come to him today and he'll indwell in you and save you, give you eternal life and seal you unto the day of redemption. You could come today, Pastor, love to show you from the Bible how to be born again. Oh, dear church, what do you got? And what do you need? Well, what we got's not much, but what we need is the Lord. And he's available. And he loves to help us. And he lives within us. Can't get any closer than that. He's already there. Let's not settle for less. The piano player's going to play, and Pastor will come in just a minute. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Dear church, great celebration. Pray for another 35 years. I pray for God to bless the dear church if he tarries. Dear mom and dad, stay in the place where you can get help. Don't abandon the man of God that'll tell you what the Bible says. Stay with the Sunday school and stay with the youth pastor and stay with the ministry and get in, don't get out. I know problems sometimes can get you distracted. You don't know what to do. I tell you, when you don't know what to do, just wait on God. Wait on God, church. Grandma, wait on God. You dear widows that are here today, wait on God. Ask the Holy Ghost to help you. Oh, get that old flesh under submission and get clean and get filled. You can do that today. That's not out of the realm of simplicity. Scriptural, Bible, being filled. Ask God to fill you. Dear dad, you may never pray, God, fill me. But you've been saved. You asked him to save you. I'm here to tell you, you can ask him to fill you, and he will. He'll help you. You ask him today, Dad. Grandpa, oh, I know you've been around the block, and you know a lot of things, but I'm telling you what, you need to be filled. You young preachers need to be filled. Ask God to help you today. Don't rush at the altar. Take time. Take time.